So next Sunday won't be in this house. We're going to have a Bible study. You know, we meet here every first and third Sunday. And so the other Sundays we have discipleship. This is super important because we need to know the Word of God. We need to know, I know this is not the paper one, but this contains probably 100 Bibles. So we need to know what God says so we can teach our children, so we can teach ourselves. The Holy Spirit will teach us how to live lives according to what God has said. And that is important because everything that we don't like that's going on in government is because people aren't living the way that they should be. And so we need to know that. So please come next week, next Sunday at 11. And then September 3, I think it is, the next Sunday after that, we'll be back here. All right? And we also have our good news, our Kingdom Club. Oh, yes, I forgot. John, do you got the offering baskets? Can you pass that out, please? There's a couple ways to give. You can give online, you can give cash, you can give a check. If you go to ecclesia.com, ecclesiasocal.com, just click on give, and there's many ways. There's a direct link right there. There's going to be envelopes given here. And then there's also, we have some good news. So, this thing started August 8th. It's called Kingdom Club. For you guys that know Steven Crowder, he has his own like little mug club on the internet. And since we got banned off of YouTube permanently, I decided to just take it off of major social media. And you can join our mug club and get a founding member's cup. You know, it starts at recurring donations at 10 bucks a month. It's really cheap, but this is like no old barb, like politics. We talk about that, and we, you know, unfiltered, like, opinions about what's going on in our world. And so it's pretty fun. This spawned off our prayer meetings online on Tuesday nights at 7:30. It's called Praying Patriots. So a bunch of people tuned in outside of California, and so they wanted their own little club, and you know, they're in there, and if you guys got friends outside of California, we'll send them a cup, and they can join the conversation and join the fight to keep God in our schools and in our houses of worship and all that stuff. So, pretty cool cup, and pretty fun club over there. All right, so I think that's it for the announcements that we have. So you guys ready to hear from our prospective candidates?
Yeah.
Yes. All right. Cool. John, can you start the stream?
I did.
Oh, you did? All right. Cool. Nice. So the first candidate we have that I want to hear from is a good friend of mine. I've known him a couple years, and you guys that come regularly here know that this church is very, very active in the political realm, and this man has, I just known his character, and I felt like God was calling him to something, and then he just blurted it out. So I want to call up Ryan. Ryan May, please come up here. Make sure you tell him your district and all that stuff, and then share your heart.
How's it going, guys? I'm not really big on public speaking. This is it's one of my first right here, so I'm barely. My name is Ryan May. I represent the, I'm going to be running for the 48th district. It's right over the hill. It includes the cities of Baldwin Park, West Covina, Covina, Glendora, Azusa, and there's a few other smaller cities that it encompasses. The reason why I started, everybody always asks me, like, so why did you want to run? Why? What made you want to run? It was originally my buddy Mike right here. We were talking one day, and he's like, hey, you know Blanca Rubio is running in your district, and she's been running on the post since 2016. And I was like, for real? And I was like, that's when I really started to realize, like, I started to pay attention to all the problems in my district, you know, like the rise in homelessness, the rise in crime. And I was realizing, like, nothing was being done about it. It was kind of just being like looked over, and then, you know, let's throw some money at it every couple months, and maybe we'll clean up the encampments and do this, but nothing was ever really being done about finding a solution to these problems. So, you know, just talking with Michael and Han and a couple other people, like, we decided that maybe I was, you know, a good candidate to run because I care about these issues. I'm from the area. And it's just, you know, I'm a hard worker. You know, I like to get the job done. I don't like to get in there and talk about what we can do and, you know, whatever. I like to find a solution to a problem and execute it. So we've just been, you know, working towards that, you know, trying to get my name out there and everything. I don't know what else to talk about. You know, I'm an Army veteran. I did 2 tours in Iraq, and one in Iraq, one in Afghanistan. I've lived in California since 2011. I'm a plumber in the area. I've been a plumber for about 10 years. I do commercial plumbing. But yeah, I've gotten tired of seeing the problems in our area not change. And I think it's time for someone to step up and find a solution to these problems, like I said. The problems, that they're not just in my district, they're, you know, in Vincent's district and in Mike's district as well. So hopefully if we get elected, we can come together and, you know, find a solution together for these issues that are in the communities.
Democrats are evil.
Yes, Democrats are evil. Yeah, really, I don't really have much to talk about. If you guys would like to come speak to me in a smaller group situation, I can answer all the questions. I kind of draw a blank when I'm up in front of a lot of people. So, I'm gonna pass the mic back to Han if you guys have any questions for me. I'll be in the back and ask me whatever you need.
Thanks, man. I'm excited for your run. See, Ryan won his primary as a writing, so
yeah.
That was pretty amazing. That was pretty amazing. All right, so next up we have Vincent Tsai. If you could come on up, please.
Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
I'm really happy to be here with like-minded patriots. I'm honored that I was invited to speak here. My name is Vincent Tsai. I'm running for California State Senate, District 22. It's a large district, so it covers El Monte and goes all the way over to Baldwin Park, Azusa, West Covina, Covina, Laverne, San Dimas, over here to Pomona, Chino, Ontario, Montclair, and a couple of smaller cities. A lot of my district overlaps with Ryan's, so what we're looking to do moving forward is working together, because we're both running against the Rubio sisters.
Yes.
And if anybody's followed politics, you'll know that these are two people that don't have a backbone, that sold themselves out to get elected, and they answer to whoever pays them. Completely opposite of people like myself, Ryan, and Mike. The reason why I'm running is because I decided to stand up. I'm still with LA County Sheriff's Department. I was suspended back in October for not complying with the COVID mandates. And my reason for that isn't because I'm somebody that likes to cause controversy. I've never been somebody that doesn't follow orders. This is the one time where I chose to disobey a direct order from multiple supervisors because I saw the writing on the wall. Yeah. I saw that this wasn't as simple of an issue as not wearing a mask or getting a jab or registering to get a COVID test. I saw this as an invasion of a medical freedom, a bodily autonomy, and I saw that this is a doorway into the government getting more authoritarian control over us.
Right.
You give them 1 inch and they'll take a whole mile, and that's what's been happening. And I take ownership of allowing this to happen. I didn't step up earlier, I didn't get involved. I was happily oblivious, like most people are. Prior to running for office, I had no interest in politics. And so I didn't keep up with what bills were being introduced, what politicians were doing. I was just in my own little bubble. So that's on me. And to rectify that mistake, I decided to step up and make a stand first at my work, because nobody else is stepping up. All the supervisors that are supposed to have our backs were hiding in their offices. Almost all my partners agreed with me that we should not comply, but because they were scared of losing their jobs, like I was, they chose to remain silent. What I learned from Greater Men than Myself is when there's a void in leadership, we step up and fill that leadership void. So I decided to do that with my department. For that, I was disciplined. To date, I'm still the only person that's been suspended on a department of thousands for anything COVID-related. Wow. And that's because I was outspoken about my stance, and also because I'm a plaintiff that was filed against LA County regarding the COVID mandates. Okay. So I'll see that. So because of that, I was singled out and made an example of. And funny enough, after their investigation, they determined that I was okay to go back to work.
Yes.
The story's not over. So about 3 weeks ago, they were gonna give me my gun and badge back. I go to the office, the captain says, hey, if you come back, you still gotta wear a mask. I said, ma'am, respectfully, I'm running for office. Unlike politicians, I mean what I say and I back it up with my actions. So I'm still not gonna comply. I'll suspend it a second time for the same reason. Like a lot of things in life, we think we have a plan, we think we know what's gonna happen, but we really don't know. Yeah. All I know is that I have a conviction in my heart to fight for what's right, to fight against evil. And if I lose my job, so be it. Yeah. I'll adapt, I'll overcome. And there's a silver lining from all this happening. I was tired of people talking to me like I was in a bad situation and people were giving me their sympathy, but that kind of annoyed me because this is all part of the battle. In war, there's casualties.
Yeah.
If I lose my job, that's just part of war. But this is bigger than me and my job. So in my eyes, this is a blessing in disguise. If none of this would have happened, I wouldn't be here standing in front of all you wonderful people here on Sunday morning, running for office, looking to fight for all of your rights. So to me, everything that's happened was what was supposed to happen, and I'm not a victim. I'm a soldier like the rest of you are in this war against good and evil. So that's a small little snippet of what led me to run for office. But my main message today is that of unity. I've had a lot of time to research the origins of the pandemic and everything else happening in government. And what I found was that it's not a conspiracy theory.
Right.
This whole thing was set up to conquer and divide.
Right.
And they were very effective in doing so. Mm-hmm. Now there's a huge gap between the left and the right, and we're constantly fighting amongst each other, even within our own party. So in the GOP party, there's so much backstabbing that goes on. It made me realize that it's not an issue between left and right. It's an issue between egos and people that don't mean well and people that want to make a change. And so my message to unity is this. It doesn't matter what political leaning you have. It doesn't matter what religion you choose to follow. We're all human beings on this earth together at the same time. Everything we do affects each other, whether we know it or not. So in order to solve these problems, we need to come together and realize that we all have common things and interests. We all have common priorities. So something I've noticed was there are certain groups that like to say that they're all about unity and they're fighting the good fight, but their egos get in the way. I'm not going to call out the organization or the specific person that said this, but at a recent meeting, somebody that asked a question on my behalf asked this person, hey, why hasn't your organization endorsed Vincent after he beat the person you endorsed during the primaries? And his response really shocked me. So he likes to say that, you know, he's a Christian and that, you know, he's all for fighting for our rights and he's fighting for unity. But yet his answer was, we only endorse candidates that accept Jesus Christ as the Lord and Savior. Now, being somebody that's agnostic, I kind of understood where he's coming from, but I went to Christian school for about 3 semesters when I was in high school. And never once did I learn that the Bible teaches you to shun or view the other person as an enemy just because they don't follow your religion. My thing is, yes, I don't call myself a Christian, but my values are the same as every single one of yours. I don't believe in murder. I don't believe especially in murdering children. like the infanticide bill, AB
2223. Yes.
I don't agree with homosexuality. Whatever people do in the bedrooms is their own business, but I believe it's unnatural and it's not something that should be flaunted, and I don't believe our children should be indoctrinated to believe that that's normal, because it's not. I believe in love for your neighbors, regardless of the differences that you have, and I believe in compassion. So just because I don't label myself a Christian and don't read the Bible, it doesn't mean I'm the enemy. We share the same beliefs. I love my family, and I'm doing this for my son and his future, and I'm sure all of you feel the same way. We're doing this to protect the future of our children. So the lack of unity is what's kept us separated. In Pomona here, there's a strong liberal bias, but I don't care about all that. Yeah, the city is heavily Democratic, but it doesn't matter. At this point, it doesn't matter if you're Democrat or Republican. We're all fighting for the same things, to protect the constitutional rights, First Amendment, Second Amendment,
Amen.
To protect our children from being indoctrinated, to protect our children from being poisoned by this experimental mRNA, they want to call it a vaccine, but it's really not. So we have very similar concerns. We're fighting the same fight. People like Ryan, myself, and Mike, we don't have the backing of our party. We don't have millions of dollars from special interest groups. So we need to unite, all of us, to get us elected into office. We need all of you to step up, walk the neighborhoods, spread the word, and donate if you can. Because without all of you, I'm just standing up here preaching to the choir. If people like myself, Ryan, and Mike can't get in office, all of what we're saying is not really going to have impact. I mean, yeah, we can sway some people, we can educate some people, but we can't get in office and make the changes that we need to make.
Yeah.
Right now, the current politicians in office are the ones that got this position in the first place. And we can't turn things around until people like us get in office and fight for change. So we need everybody to step up. It's all hands on deck. Once in office, all of us are going to work together. I look forward to getting all of us getting in office in Sacramento, working with legislators in D.C. as well, and coming together and fighting the supermajority. This really is a battle between good and evil. If you look at what legislators like Wiener, Akilah Weber, Buffy Wicks, Pan. These are truly evil people. And up until now, they've had no resistance. They're getting away with whatever they want with impunity, and they're smug about it, which really pisses me off. So my plan is to get in office and work together, because I'm just one person. I can't do it alone up there in Sacramento. Right now, there's 31 Democrats and 9 Republicans in the California State Senate. And that's why we're not getting things done. So we need to get more candidates, myself, elected, so that we can fight back against that supermajority. I really appreciate everybody coming here today and hearing me speak. I'm really happy to meet all of you and talk some more after this. The final thing I want to say is this. It takes a lot to run for office, but the reason why we step up is because it has to be done. We're not doing this to increase our profile. We're not doing this to make money, because on a government salary, trust me, I know, I'm a county employee, you can't get rich off a government salary. And the politicians that are in office are rich for a reason, because they're corrupt.
Exactly.
Let's save our state, let's save our country.
Yes.
We got this, but we've got to stick together.
Yes.
Thank you all.
Thank you, Vincent. Hey, Vincent, I want to encourage you, man. You know, that I won't say his name either, I know what you're talking about. But when he said that we don't endorse candidates that don't accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, that's a political ploy, man.
Yeah.
That's so that you won't get the recognition. And I know you say you're agnostic, but I believe by when you were speaking, I felt like you're being led by God.
Amen.
In the Bible,
Amen.
Not every single person was like Jesus. And so I just want to encourage you, because you're doing the right thing. And if you're doing the right thing, you're doing the Lord's work, whether you know it or not. So thank you. All right. Mitch, how's it going, brother?
All right. A little bit.
This guy, I love Mitch. He was, when I spoke at the Babies Lives Matter rally, and Santa Monica. This guy was on his roller skates filming the whole thing, and Mitch loves the Lord, and he wants to do the right thing as well. And so, come on up, man. Give him a hand.
So, hi, I'm Mitch. I'm running for State Senate District 30, and it's funny because I was at the same church for 27 years, Calvary Chapel, La Habra. And not too long ago, I started getting involved with all this political nonsense. And I tell you what, now that I'm campaigning, I've been to so many churches. I have become the proverbial church hopper. We just came from one in Downey right now, and that's in my district. And the pastor out there, I met his son at a realtor's office one day. I'm a plumbing contractor by trade. And he introduced me to his dad, who owns a real estate company, a pest control company, an escrow company, and he's a pastor in Downey. And so we got to go out there today, and I don't know if you know, but there's four of us candidates that are running together. The other three aren't here. One of them's coming right now. Eric Ching should be here shortly. But four of us are running together, and God gave Eric Ching a campaign slogan for his campaign called God gave him this slogan, "You First." And it means God first and the people first.
Yeah.
And not our interests, not special interests.
Come on. Yeah.
One of the big problems we have in our government is that nowadays we have career politicians.
Yeah.
Back in the day when our country was founded, people would take time off of their career to go serve in government for a season. And you'd have to get your friend or somebody to watch over your business, to take care of things for you while you were gone serving in government. And then after you got done with that time of service, you'd come back to your regular career. So I can ask all you guys, what's in your jobs, in your careers, what are the number one and two things you probably are worried about? Making money and keeping your job. And when we made politics a career choice, that's what those people are concerned with. They're worried about making money and keeping their job. Their interest is not for the people anymore.
Come on.
And so, like I said, I'm a plumber. I've been plumbing 30 years. For the last 20, I've had my own plumbing company, helped a lot of guys start their own companies, been serving my community well. And they keep saying they're trying to drain the swamp, but it's not draining. I know how to clear a drain.
Yeah!
I'm completely pro-life.
Yes.
From the time of conception, I believe God designs all human life. And I'm so encouraged that Roe versus Wade was finally turned over. In our state, they want to pass a proposition. They were just talking about this last night at an event I was at too. They want to pass a proposition. They have a law. You guys have all probably heard about AB 2223, right?
Yes.
Where they want to make abortion legal up to birth and possibly up to 30 days after birth.
Whoa.
Now, can you imagine after the baby's born? But they want to take it one step further in California. Now they're talking about, they call it Proposition 1. It's not, you know, they can number them any way they want. But Prop 1, right now they're doing Prop 1 is to change the California Constitution. If they pass AB 2223, that's a law that they put on the books that can be changed easily if we end up with a Republican legislature in California. But with Prop 1, they want to change the California Constitution to make abortion legal according to our Constitution in our state. And so that's crazy what they're trying to do right here in our state. But I've got great news. You know, in 2 Chronicles 7:14, I'm sure all of you have heard this, it says, if my people who are called by my name,
yes,
will humble themselves, pray, seek my face, and turn from their wicked ways,
yes,
God says, I'll hear from heaven, forgive their sin, and heal their land.
Amen.
It's the one place in the scripture where there's the prescription for the healing of a nation.
That's right.
The first part is that God's people humble themselves.
Yeah.
And then we get to them repenting. The first part is humbling themselves. I don't know how many of you And some people think I'm a little bit over the top with this. I don't know how many of you go to Starbucks, but Starbucks will pay for people to go across state lines. Yeah. If their state doesn't allow abortion, they'll pay their employees' travel expenses to get an abortion.
Yeah.
There's so much apathy in the church.
Right.
We need to stand against these evil people. We got to quit giving them our money. Sorry, I'm so sorry. I have a ton of, you know, I've got friends that love Disneyland, and they still go to this day. They love it. They love it. Friends in the Lord. But Disneyland supports wickedness.
Yeah.
And I think the first thing God wants us to do is, when he says humble ourselves, we have to recognize what's going on in our world and realize that, you know, we think if we're not doing drugs, then we're not sinning. If we're not, you know, sleeping around on our spouses, we're not sinning. But there's just so much in this culture that we've become deadened to. And it's time for God's people to humble themselves.
That's good.
To seek his face and to turn from their wicked ways. And then it says, God will hear from heaven, he'll forgive our sins and heal our land. I've got no judgment against anybody that goes to Disneyland or Starbucks. My prayer is that God will stir up his people in this season.
That's right.
Because after they wake up and start doing that first part of that scripture, God starts doing the second part of that scripture. We can't get to the healing of the land until the first part gets done. But I've got great news, because I've been praying for this for the last 2 years, and everybody was asleep. Nobody was listening. Churches were closing their doors all over the place.
Yeah.
But the encouraging news is this, is that God is raising up his people in this time to stand up. And it's evidence that he's beginning the process of healing our nation. And I believe, as blue as they tell us California is, I believe he is giving it back to his people right now. And so I'm encouraged by all of these people coming out. By Vincent, by Mike, by the U First team, Eric Ching, Raul Ortiz. Hey, Eric. Good to see you. Hey, come up here. I want to introduce you.
Come up here.
My good friend Eric Ching, I met him about a year ago, a little less than a year ago. He is the mayor of Walnut until recently, I think, right?
Yeah, we rotate.
They rotate. So he was the mayor of Walnut. Under his watch, Walnut became one of the safest cities in the nation.
Come on.
Yeah. When I decided I was going to run for office, you came just in time. God was have me pray for a series of months. I didn't want to do it. I was a Jonah. I was running away from what God wanted me to do. Honestly, I was complacent. I was that apathetic Christian. And I didn't want to get involved, and I didn't want to take those steps of faith. But when God finally called me to it, I had met Eric just a month beforehand, and he handed me his card. He says, "Hi, I'm Eric, and God's called me to run for Congress," and he hands me his card. And I said, "God's called me too." He said, "Well, if you need any help, I'll help you file your paperwork."
Yeah.
And so about a month later, God convicted me, and I knew I had to do it, so I called him up. He had me file my paperwork. I was going to run for U.S. House District 38, and he was going to run for U.S. House District 39. After they finished the redistricting, that was in November of last year, after they finished the redistricting in December, we were both in District 38 against each other. And so I called up Eric and I said, "Hey, what are we going to do? We've got to talk about this. God is going to put two of his people that are filled with his Holy Spirit against each other." And Eric says, "God will show me."
That's right. Yeah.
And he was just so patient. He is such a humble and patient man that serves Jesus. God's given this man a mantle of leadership. I call him the leader of our little U First team that I was telling you guys about earlier. Do you mind if I share my time?
I've never heard for a long time.
Go ahead.
Finish
it.
Well, so the end result is, I didn't finish the story. So the end result is what the enemy intended on putting two Bible-believing Christians against each other in one district. I ended up stepping back to decide I was going to run for State Senate District 30, and that's a different story. Jessica Martinez from the city of Whittier, where I live, she was asking, she was going to run for U.S. House seat, but when I said I was, she said no. I'll run for something else. Then when I told her that Eric was going to run for the U.S. House seat instead, and I was going to run for Senate, she said, Mitch, I told you I wanted to run for that. I said, yes, but God's called Eric. And so I asked Jessica, I decided I was going to run for state Senate. She said she's going to run for state assembly. And so the three of us started working together. God, like I told you guys earlier, that You First campaign slogan that God gave Eric, I asked him, I said, can we use that on our campaigns? So he said yes. So me and Jessica started using the same slogan. And then Raul Ortiz, I met him when I was filing my paperwork, and I asked him to join with us. We're all like-minded, Bible-believing, Jesus-loving Christians, following Jesus to see Him. Anyways, that's my story. If anybody has any policy questions for me, I guarantee that I line up with what the scriptures say. So if you have any questions for me, I'm happy to answer any questions after. I usually don't talk about those things up here. I just like sharing with people how God's moving.
Yeah.
So, all right.
He knows a lot about water.
Yeah, I know a lot about water.
I mean, no, seriously, about policy.
You know, I wasn't planning on speaking, but you put me on the spot, so. You know, God had called me to do this.
Yeah.
You know, I thought I was a good Christian, but I wasn't a good Christian. I didn't want to listen. I always sat in the back, and you know, I contribute here and there, and I volunteer, thinking I'm a good Christian, but I was a, shamefully to say that I was a, not even a Sunday Christian. I would say I was a Christian pretend to be. So I sat there for almost a decade, more than a decade, until he cracked this thick skull on me. Yeah, you know, I've been through many personal tragedies, more than I can put all my fingers together in 4.5 years. So I don't want to talk about my personal tragedies, but that woke me up. So he gave me visions to run for this office. Since I registered to run, I've been sued, I've been filed a complaint on. I was stopped 2 weeks ago at the airport twice. The second time I said, why am I being stopped? Right before I walked into the airplane, the person told me that it was some department in the US government asked you to be stopped and searched again. Yeah. So, okay. So, this is not to share, you know, the tragedy that happened, but I want to share what the power God has for us. Is that nothing they did harmed me.
Come on.
And even the lawsuit.
Yeah.
Let me share with you about the lawsuit. I had used Victor's Advocate as my campaign ballot destination. And the reason why they sued me is because I did not get paid as a volunteer. I said, wow, they sued me because I didn't get paid. They pulled all the papers from my city. I said, I did not know when I want to help people, I have to get paid. So when I got that lawsuit, there were 5 lawyers,
yeah.
2 from the state, 3 from the people who wanted to sue me. But the thing is, I you know, I couldn't find a lawyer, so I represented myself, got a lawsuit dismissed in 1 day like that.
Wow.
And when I first started, you know, I didn't know many, as he shared, I had little to no support. But I can tell you this, now in our team, we have 2 presidential advisors join our team. Can you believe that?
Wow.
And next Monday, tomorrow, we're going to be taping our show. We're going to have our own radio show on the major radio station.
Oh, yeah.
And I don't even know how that happened. If you ask me, you know, a few months ago, say you're crazy that I would be able to get this kind of resources. For the radio show, nobody's going to be able to stop us because we can say what we want.
Amen.
Yeah. So we're going to be preaching.
No campaigning.
No campaigning, but preaching. Because I think the reason we want to do this is for our government, for Him, right?
Yeah.
So He has already given us authority,
yes,
to be in each and every one of our offices or positions. So I think, you know, I'm very much in peace because I know that He will be taking care of all of us. So we just need to learn to obey and follow, and that's all there is to it.
Yeah.
Yeah. And this morning, you know, I will be going to 3rd church service after right after this.
Church hopping.
Because I believe when we get to our offices or each of our positions, it's not to use an office for anything, but to preach, to share God's words.
Amen.
And I believe that's the most important for us. So, well, thank you for allowing me and then put me on the spot.
Thanks, Eric. Yeah, I remember when Eric was mayor, they would invite me to do the invocation during the city council meeting and stuff. I'm glad you were able to stop by. All right, so next person that we have, last but not least, Mike has been here before and we love him. I saw you at CPAC, and that interview was fire, man. Everything you said was true. Your perspective, your godly perspective on politics, I just resonated with that. So you guys give Mike Harvey a big hand.
Well, thank you for having me back here. I was here 2 years ago,
yeah. And
then the world turned upside down.
Yeah.
COVID hit, all of that occurred. But since then, I just want you to know I've prayed for you every day for the last 2 years. So you're covered, and just keep doing what you're doing. So for those who don't know me, my name's Mike Carlisle.
There you go.
And I'm running for Congress in the 35th. You are in the 35th right now. Pomona. It's Pomona, Upland from Foothill down. And then they cut out Claremont, but I have all of Montclair, Rancho from Foothill down, and Fontana from Foothill down. All of Ontario, all of Chino, half of Chino Hills, and Eastvale. Greatest district in California. I know. But I really believe it. So, I had a gentleman early on said, Mike, you're going to have to work for my vote. And I thought, well, what does that mean? You want me to cut your grass or wash your, what does that mean? And I started thinking about it. And that's exactly what I've been doing to people running for office. They say, what do I have to do to get your vote? And that's exactly why we're in the shape we're in right now. Because I don't want to have to do anything for your vote. I don't want to say, and this is, it reminds me of something I saw in Disneyland. You were talking about Disneyland. One of my favorite skits is this mayor stands up and he goes, I stand for anything you'll fall for. And that's exactly politics. That's exactly politics. So I said, I'm going to run a different type of campaign. I'm going to tell you who I am, and now you have to decide whether I represent your values. Not the other way around. So I've reshaped the campaign. I am pro-God, pro-family, pro-life, pro-jobs,
yeah.
Pro-police, always America first.
Yeah.
Yes.
That's who I am. I don't change for anybody.
Amen.
Now you as the voter have to decide, do those values reflect yours? And if so, I'd like to represent us both in the House of Representatives in Washington, D.C. Yeah. So with that said, I want to let you know where we really are, both as a nation and worldwide, because we're in an unprecedented time of darkness. And this has occurred for a very specific reason. For the United States and the church in general, we are under judgment right now. The judgment that is detailed in Romans 1, where God gives them over. He gives them over and gives them over. It started around the early 60s, that was the sexual revolution, and then it's cascaded from then into the homosexual revolution, and now we're into the third phase of this judgment, which is God gives them over to a reprobate mind, or a mind that is 180 degrees out. Wrong is right, right is wrong, up is down is up. Does that sound familiar?
Yeah.
To the United States today? I can illustrate this. I had a guy came up to me and he said, you know, math is racist. Math is racist. What does that even mean? Well, what he's saying there is really interesting. He's saying math, which is absolute, 1 + 1 = 2, always, right? That's right or it's wrong. It's absolutely right or wrong. But if I can inject a moral quality to that equation, maybe it's not right. Maybe there is an aspect to this absolute that you're not aware of. If I can make you think that math might have a racial component to it, then maybe 1 + 1 doesn't equal 2. It might, maybe there is a situation where it doesn't. And that's where we enter this realm of moral relativism,
right,
where it's not always right, it's not always wrong. This is the domain of Satan, because the greatest lie is the half-truth, right? So if I can get you to understand that math may not always be right, maybe I can convince you of things like a man can be a woman, or a man can have a baby, or if a child is born, it's still okay to kill it, because murder isn't always absolutely wrong. There are certain circumstances where murder might be okay. And that's where we are right now.
Right.
This moral relativism. And it is completely from the pit of hell. So what's really going on in the world right now? The world is being run by a small group of people. You've seen them operating places like the World Economic Forum,
right.
Davos.
That's right.
So it's a small group of people, and they worship Satan. They are literal satanic worshipers called Luciferians. They worship the devil. And as God's creation, you and I are their enemy. We are made in the image of God. And what they are trying to do right now is depopulate the earth. You say they were thinning the herd. Okay, and if you really think about this, you'll see all the lines connected here. So they've used a virus. Then they use a vaccine. Now they're using this thing called the Green New Deal. The Green New Deal's sole purpose is to collapse the economy. Crude oil is in everything. It's not just for fuel. Even the fuel runs everything, and diesel gets the things on the shelves. Crude oil is used for every bit of plastics, every bit of synthetics. Crude oil is everything for our economy and our way of life. Without crude oil, we do not have this way of life. We collapsed back into the 1800s, 1700s, where we didn't have rubber and plastic and things like that. You don't have the wheels for your Tesla, right? You don't have the wheels for your Tesla. So they're tires. So this is their goal. You want to collapse the economy, destroy it, and so now you have starvation, and you have people fighting and chaos and anarchy and lawlessness. This is the realm of the devil. First John is really clear. Lawlessness is sin. Sin is lawlessness. That's where they want to take this. So they're collapsing all these facets of our world, from law enforcement to government, with the economy, with the water, everything. Listen, California is the key to this, though. Just as a quick aside, California is the key, because we are the test kitchen for all of these bad policies. Remember when Trump was president and the rest of the country was just celebrating, 401ks are out the roof, stock market's out of the roof. There was one place in the country where it was still miserable. California, because they were trying out the Green New Deal here during the Trump years. Remember the fire, the Paradise Fire, all these sort of things? That all occurred here during the Trump heyday, right? While everyone was having a party, we were miserable here in California. And that's where they were sort of perfecting this. California's always been the key for voter fraud, California. All of it happens here first, and then what they're trying to do is federalize it. So I'm running for that office to go head to head with Nancy Pelosi, AOC, It is a very dark time, though, and this will bring it home here. The world is under assault by people who want all of us dead. So the next thing they're going to try and do, and they're already attempting this, is to get us into a couple wars. Taiwan, Ukraine, there's stuff happening in South America, Central America. Russia's doing some operations in Nicaragua. That's not South America, that's Central America. That is right outside our southern gate. So if they can get us into a war, the body count goes out the roof quickly. And then they see that as victory, because they worship the creation and not the creator. That's why the fires occurred. That's why this bad policy. They worship the creation and not the creator. There is only one organization on the planet that can stand up to this.
Yeah.
It's the church.
Amen.
Only the church. Only the church has the truth, and it's the truth that will confront the lie. Only the truth, and it's the pastors that are the shepherds that now must step up into that office they occupy, but they've been operating as, I'm not pointing at you, because I know you and I know how well you've been doing and I've been praying for you. But we do have many, many, many pastors that do not look like shepherds. They look like sheep, and they run to the back of the flock when danger occurs. They have to guide the flock, they have to feed and nourish the flock, and then they have to step in front of the flock and take on the danger. David illustrated this perfectly. He was the good shepherd, and he took on the lion, he took on the bear for his father's sheep. A good shepherd will even give his life for his sheep.
Amen.
The shepherds must step up now into the field of battle on behalf of their flocks.
True.
That's their role. Now, Eric and I, we have a different role. Our role is not as pastors. I'm here for the pastors. So as the pastor and his flock navigate the valley of the shadow of death, Eric and I are going to do everything we can to make sure that the grass is growing, the water's flowing, and we're going to take on every wolf we can find in that valley that's going after the shepherds and their flocks. That's our role in this, legislatively. We're going to try and keep the valley clear. You shepherd your flock. And it starts at home. We call out sin in the congregation. We cannot be weak.
Yeah.
It's our sanctified existence that is the light to the world around us. We have to offer something. And when the divorce rate in the church is as high as the world, what on earth are we offering them?
Right.
We're offering nothing. So we start, we clean our house here. Now we're a light. Now we're an example. And we're going to attract. Now remember, a pastor cannot grow the flock. Think about it. A pastor can feed and nourish the flock, but he can't grow sheep. Sheep beget sheep.
That's right.
Right? So you make the flock healthy, and the sheep will beget sheep, and the flock will grow. It's not the pastor's responsibility to grow the flock. His job is to nurture and safeguard the flock. The sheep will take care of the rest. God is the one who causes growth, and we've lost that perspective. So what do I need for you to do to support our collective effort? Vote.
Yeah.
I know it sounds political, but it's really not.
Yeah.
You need to vote. Voter participation, among Christians especially, is anemic at best.
Yeah.
We had about a 12% participation rate in the primary in June.
Wow.
That's shameful. But I get it. People, what does it matter? What is my vote going to do? What do I really? Listen and hear me. And this is the message you need to take to everyone you know. You were born in the United States. And you were born here at God's direction. You could have been born in Ethiopia. You could have been born in Uganda or some other place. But He had you in this nation at this time. You were created for just such a time as this.
Amen.
Okay? And as a citizen of the United States, you have a unique responsibility that no one else in the world has. And that's to inject and influence the political process of the United States. And you can do that for bad, or you can do it for good.
Yes.
But He gave you this talent. And there's a parable in the Bible with talents, right? One was given five, one was given three, one was given one, and He took the one and He put it in the ground, and it did nothing. Take your talent and invest it. Well, what if we don't win? That's really not your prerogative, is it?
Right.
That's up to God. The victory is His, always. And you're supposed to take that talent and invest it. Use it as He gave it to you. Is there biblical precedent for this? Yes, there absolutely is. The one that comes to my mind is Paul. Paul was born, his mom was Israeli, his dad was Roman. And one day, he needed his Roman citizenship. Well, his whole life, he was a Pharisee, a Pharisee of Pharisees. But one day, the Pharisees wanted to kill him. And he said, I appeal to Caesar. He used his Roman citizenship. And God had given him that citizenship from the day he was born.
Right.
So that on that day, he needed it. He was a Roman citizen. And he appealed to Caesar. He went to Rome and ended up witnessing to all of Caesar's household because of it. It's no different. You have been given a citizenship by God. It's the United States. And as a United States citizen, you have a responsibility to use the tools he gave you to safeguard what we have. Now, will you save it? I don't know. Are we too far gone in this judgment? I don't know. That's up to him. But if you do not cast your vote and you think, well, my vote won't cast, it won't be, you know, my vote doesn't matter. Well, listen, if you don't cast your vote, I can guarantee you it won't matter. They won't count a vote that hasn't been cast. So we cast our votes. And because it's California, we can help our neighbors cast their votes.
Come on.
So the Democrats, they will hire people, all kinds of lawless people to do things to ballot harvest and do things like that. But it's legal. They don't go to jail for this. So on top of voting your ballot, I want you to reach out to your neighbors and your friends and say, are you using your ballot? And they go, I don't know how to fill it out. Well, we'd love to help you. I know a couple candidates you should mark on that ballot right offhand. Okay, and if you don't know how, we'll help you. And if you don't know what to do with your ballot, I'll help you there too. Hand it to me, sign it, and I'll go take it to the registrar of voters for you. And we'll make sure your ballot, we can do that here. Other states, this is illegal. In California, it's legal. It's perfectly legal. So let's help our neighbors. And really, it's another version of love your neighbor as yourself. I want you to help me help you.
Yeah.
Right? So let's work together. And if they're not sure, call me. Call Eric. Call Pastor here. We'll tell you what to vote for, what not to vote for. But we have to start engaging at a much higher level than 12%. That's shameful. Okay? So, listen, I thank you for allowing me to come here to speak to you once again. I'll keep praying for you because you're in the war. But listen, God bless all of you. Thank you for allowing me this time.
All right. Thank you, Mike. That was so good. You know, we're going to pray for these men in a little bit, and then we're going to come fellowship. So if you guys have time to stick around to answer questions, that'll be cool. I know some of my friends and some of my contemporaries say, that's why you got kicked off YouTube, Facebook, Twitter, because you're too political.
Yeah! Yeah, that's awesome.
But what Mike just said is correct. Is Christians, we don't get involved because we fall for the lie of secularism. And I don't mean that we can't be friends with people who aren't Christians. In fact, we should be friends with people who aren't Christians so that we can share the truth with them. But that's a lie that a Christian, especially pastors, cannot get into the field of government and politics to influence that. It's a huge lie. And they did that successfully for the past 50 years, and look where we're at. And so this house refuses to bend the knee to any other official apart from Jesus Christ himself. And for you men that are doing the right thing, we align ourselves with you because you bend the knee to the same King. And so I want to call up every candidate that was here, and we want to pray for them as a house. Because we know they can't do it on their own. They need the power and spirit of God behind them. So yeah, just make a line here, and you guys, if you guys can, there you go. You don't want to be in front of me, it's okay. Just, yeah, go in front, or to the side if you want to be super front. Okay, you guys, reach your hands out to them, and we're going to humble ourselves and pray. Lord Jesus, we know whether it's a blessing or a judgment, you do it for our behalf. You do it for our good. and we believe in this house, you allow things to go south because you want us to wake up. You want us as Christians, brothers and sisters, to rise up, to not allow people who are godless to intimidate us, but be hand in hand, not only with our Christian brothers and sisters, but even with the people that don't know you yet, that know right from wrong. Bring them into the flock as well, Lord Jesus. And so as these men stand here, they're going to represent, of course, us as Christians. They're going to represent Muslims. They're going to represent Buddhists, agnostics, atheists, all of that. But the Bible says, your word says that you are the one that actually turns the heads of kings, that you can sway their hearts any way you want. But you require us to worship you. You require us to love you and love our neighbor as ourselves. And then you will turn the heads and get people out of office and into office. And so that's what we do today, Lord Jesus, is we surrender to you because you are the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. But most of all, because you sacrificed yourself so that we may live. That we may live in eternity, but also here and now. And so in the name of Jesus, as our hands are stretched out, we bless these men in your name. Empower them with your Holy Spirit. When they speak at places, when they move, and when they get their office, when they get the keys to the kingdom of the authority of office,
yes, Lord.
I pray that you will keep directing them to do the right thing. I pray protection over their hearts and their minds, that influence, money, exposure will not be a temptation for them, but it will be a stepping stone to a place where they can have more influence in the lives of people. And finally, Lord Jesus, use these men and anyone else, and the women that are running too that aren't here today, use them to share the truth of your love for the world. Because you said in your word that for you who so loved the world that you gave your only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in you will not perish and have eternal life. Lord, I thank you for every single one of these men. I thank you that we will stand with them. We're going to tell our friends about them. We're going to donate to their campaigns. We're going to volunteer and knock door to door. We will do everything in our power to get good, godly people who know right from wrong into office. Because you said in your word in Romans 13 that every office is ordained by you, whether it's good or bad, whether it's for blessing or for judgment. But as you've given the word to Mike Argyle, you are correct. We are citizens of the United States of America, so you gave us a gift that we can choose blessing or cursing. We can choose right from wrong. We can choose who's in office and who is not. And it doesn't matter how much people say that there's cheating, there's fraud. We don't care what they do to us. We only care about honoring you, Lord Jesus, by electing correct and right people. So again, Lord God, empower them with your Holy Spirit. For such a time as this, we are alive and we acknowledge that you are Lord and that you want certain people to represent you in our government. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Give them a hand, you guys. All right. So you guys can have a seat. We're going to pray again. But right before that, we want to honor God as we end this. Oh.
Can I say something?
Yes, come on.
My name is John Matthews. I'm part of this church. But I'm also a coordinator for Election Integrity Project California. And I wanted to I just love what I just saw, because this is something we were just talking about this the other night. We were over dinner for Mitch's and Charlene's, and we were talking about how there has been a shift in the environment here, especially in LA County. I think the Newsom recall ignited the grassroots here, which really kind of took things up, right? But I need to clarify something, and I hope Mike can take correction when it comes to the voting. It's very important. Where I'm seeing this more and more as I go around and listen to candidates. We were at a meeting yesterday where I listened to a candidate tell people how to vote, and everything she said was absolutely backwards. And the more she talked, the more backwards it became, to the point where we had to stand up and say, you're wrong, you don't have the right information. This is a problem with voting right now, is there's a lot of disinformation. There's misinformation, meaning people intentionally putting stuff out there, but there's a lot of disinformation, meaning people have the wrong information and they think it's right. Voting with your ballot, mail-in ballot, is absolutely not the thing to do. Period. Under no circumstances should you be turning in a vote-by-mail ballot or mailing in a vote-by-mail ballot. The reason is real simple. The vote-by-mail system was created to manipulate that ballot to get to a particular place. It's based on algorithms. And what they do is they project how many people are going to vote in any given election, and they write their algorithms to be able to manipulate these vote-by-mail ballots to get the outcome that they want. This is why we've seen things like candidates winning on election night, and then within the next 48 hours, all of a sudden they've lost.
Right, exactly.
Because they have a way of manipulating the ballot. So what we're telling people, what Mike is saying is absolutely right. Talk to your neighbors. The only way we're going to beat this system is if our people show up in mass, in person, and cast the ballots, because when you cast your ballot in person, it's not subject to the manipulation of the system, because the ballot goes from where it's cast to be counted. In the vote-by-mail system, it goes through 17 different processes before they actually count that ballot. And anywhere in that process, that ballot can be manipulated. And so we're just saying, yeah, man. No, yeah, if you're taking your ballot down to the registrar, you're not voting in person. What you're doing is you're handing them a ballot that they're going to put into the system that's designed to manipulate it. Voting in person is going in with your ballot and saying, I want to cast a ballot here in the vote center. I want a paper ballot, or in LA County, the touch screen. You go in, you hit the touch screen, and it will print you out a ballot. And you look at that ballot and you say, this is what I want. Then you put that ballot back in and it becomes a paper trail. That ballot goes directly from that vote center to be counted, and there's nobody else messing around with it.
Right.
You mail a ballot in or you hand a ballot in. They can open that ballot up, and for any number of reasons, there's things that can happen. The signature verification, they can reject it if they want to, they let it go through. The one thing they do is they let the ballots go through because they know the Democrats are duplicating the ballots.
Yeah.
Let me finish my thought and I'll get to you, okay? I don't want to take over the meeting, but this is important because candidates need to understand what they're telling their people. You're defeating your own purpose by telling them to put a ballot into a corrupt system. You know, I understand the intent, but let's get our facts straight, okay? So when you do this kind of stuff, you mail a ballot or you hand it in, and they finally get to the point where they open that ballot up. And if they see anything on that ballot that doesn't look like it could be scanned, they will remake that ballot.
Yeah, they will.
And you don't know what they're doing when they're remaking that ballot, because as an observer, that's what I've done for the last 7 years, I train observers to go in and watch the process. And I've seen it happen. You see the people doing the bad stuff, and you can't do anything to stop it, except just report it. That's what we do. We document all the violations that we see. So here's the deal. Yes, you want to vote in mass, and yes, you want to grab anybody in your sphere of influence that votes and tell them they need to get off their butts and vote.
That's right.
That's the only way you're going to overwhelm the system. In person, paper ballot, the system cannot be manipulated. And that's the only, I'll give you a perfect example. Carrie Lake in Arizona just won her primary because she got her base to show up in person and they voted in such numbers that the system could not be manipulated.
Amen.
So I'm just saying, I love you, Mike. This is the first time I met you, and you and I need to talk. We've got some things to do. But I'm just so emphatic about this. I've been doing this for 7 years, and I know what the system is, and I know how it operates, and I know how to beat it.
Yeah.
We've spent with EIP. We've been doing this for 12 years now. We've been documenting every single election cycle. We know what we're talking about. And we know how the system can be beat. In-person voting, in mass, in large numbers, and we can turn this thing around. I'm encouraged because we have so many, this is the first election cycle I've been in when I've seen this many conservative Christian candidates rise up. And it's interesting, this is the way it's supposed to be. Citizens step away from their lives and go and do a season and serve the people that they live with. And then they go back and take over and start doing what they did before they left. That is the way America was designed. That's how it was created. That was the best check and balance that we had in our government, is that we didn't have career politicians.
Yeah.
We had people who were concerned about what was going on in their own respective communities and states. And that's the way it's supposed to be. So thanks for listening. But I'm just telling you, do not cast that ballot by mail. Do not take that mail ballot in person and drop it off. Don't harvest through your church. The churches are trying to do all this stuff. I say this and it kind of sometimes ticks people off. You can do some things in the name of Jesus. That doesn't mean it's going to work. Okay, you can do the right thing the wrong way. And that's what happens when you take a mail ballot and whatever your intent is. I know your intent is pure. I know you want to do the right thing. But the system is not made that way. And so we have to beat the system by doing the opposite of what they want. They want us to vote by mail? No, we're going to vote in person. That's your obligation. We have a dual citizenship. We have citizenship within the United States of America, and we have a citizenship to advance the kingdom of God.
Yes.
And one works with the other. There is no separation of church and state. So thank you very much.
All right, you guys, if you can stand, we're going to end service. Thank you, John. By the way, I trust John with everything that he said because he's done the research with the Election Integrity Project here in California and LA County. But we want to make sure we start and we end with honoring Jesus. And so we're going to sing one more song of praise and then we're going to go ahead and fellowship and pray for the food. But just give your heart out to the Lord right now.
Because I'm forgiven, I lift my hands. One, two, three, smile. All Good?
All right.